Hi, Disney fans. Today, we're talking Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, coming to theaters this week.
We'll be chatting with stars Owen Teague, Freya Allen, Kevin Durand, and Peter Macon.
As well as director Wes Ball.
I'm Lisa.
I'm Hunter.
And this is D23 Inside Disney.
Hi, Lisa.
Hunter, I'm so excited for today's episode.
I am so excited for another film in this beloved franchise.
Me too. I am such a fan. I love that it's so multi-generational. It dates back, you know, into the 60s. I personally love this. I connect so much with this because of that reason. I love talking about this movie with my stepdad in particular. He's a big fan, and it really creates such a good bond with people who loved the films over the years. So that's why I love it.
Yeah, I remember growing up, I used to watch the original movies with my family. And then every summer when another one would come out, we'd go to the theaters to see it together. I think I saw the Caesar trilogy, each one, with my parents.
Okay, War of the Planet of the Apes changed my life. I'm not kidding. That was the one that indoctrinated me into the Planet of the Apes franchise. So I can't wait to talk to our guests today. I'm so excited.
I know, same. It's like every movie keeps getting better.
And who better to talk to about this new film than Owen Teague, who plays Noah, a young ape who knows nothing about the history of the human race or really about the world. And Freya Allen, who plays Nova, a human that lives in the shadows but meets Noah, and together they embark on an epic journey.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Well, every movie in this franchise is awesome. What will fans love about this one in particular?
I mean, we get to follow a new character and a new story and look at a different part of ourselves, you know, with that. I think there's a hope in this movie that we haven't seen before with these films. These can be pretty heavy movies, you know. There's a kind of sense of levity and light and hope and wonder to this one that I think people really appreciate.
And also just visually, it feels a lot brighter, mm-hmm. you know, and more luscious. And there's a kind of, you know, twinkle to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our world, but it feels like another world because it looks so stunning. So I think with all of that, the feeling is a little bit more hopeful.
So without giving too much away, what was like the most memorable scene to film for this movie?
So many for so many different reasons.
Yeah.
I was just saying in an interview that I remembered how special the last shot of the film for me was. So that as well. I know what you were thinking. You were thinking
our scene. No, but like the actual,
shot. Because I was in the middle of nowhere. I'd literally traveled so far and it was just beautiful. Like the actual location just felt like you could just see nothing for miles. And then, you know, the camera was coming down and I was pretending to look up at these, what do you call them? The
satellites. Yeah.
And the sun was literally coming down as we got that last shot. And it was almost like I had just completed the mission. May had just completed her mission. And
that
was the last thing I shot. And the sun's going down and then the sun went down and that was it.
I remember the river quite clearly.
Crazy.
Just because of how big it was. Like, they built a river. Like, they built rapids.
They built it for the movie?
They built it for the movie. Where the bridge is all just a set. And the water is real, but they built the rapids part of it.
Oh, I was wondering how they did that.
Mm-hmm. That was crazy.
Mm-hmm. You'd have no idea watching the movie that it was that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Owen, when you're auditioning for a Planet of the Apes film, are you going in, like, doing ape characteristics right away? Or do you just show them, like, here's how I act, and then you like narrow it down later?
Not really. There were a few things that I sort of hinted at in the audition. You know, I remember like I was on the ground. I was sitting on the floor for it because the scene kind of called for that. And some of the things with like my hands, you know, I wanted to have a sort of softness in the way that I was using my hands that is how apes move. But in terms of like acting like an ape, it's never really about that, but especially in the audition, I was like, yeah, we'll figure that out later. I'd rather just play the scene.
And Freya, when you're acting around other actors who are acting like apes, what was like one of the wildest behaviors you saw somebody do on set that maybe turned into like an awesome moment?
Oh, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I do.
Just Rasamuel, who played Lightning, was just, I mean, you knew when he was on set because I'd be in my tent having my makeup checks and I'd just hear the loudest ape noises. Genuinely and sounded like you were in the rainforest or at a zoo or something.
Really?
Like, so accurate to how they actually sound. That guy, I don't know how he does it.
I don't either.
It's so good. We all brought such individual physicality to the role and such individual characteristics that, like, Rasamuel, he's always, he's always scratching himself as lightning. You know, you see him get off his horse and he's just like, you know, it's amazing.
Andy Serkis really, he was a trailblazer, I feel like, for motion capture acting like this. How important was it to you to work with him?
It was really important, you know, and important to me that he feel good about where we were going and how we were approaching these characters. Like, he really approaches it from an internal place, and that's kind of what he gave us, was performance capture is, it's just like acting. That's what you're doing. You're playing a character. Yes, you're moving differently and you're covered in technology, but at the heart of it, it's the exact same thing.
That really translates, too. Well, thank you both so much. You're incredible in the movie, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hunter, that was a great interview. I loved hearing from Owen and Freya. Next up, we've got even more. Now joining us, we have director Wes Ball.
Wes Ball, we're so excited to talk to you today.
Thanks.
It's a massive film. Nature's taken over. Apes reign. How would you describe the world that we encounter in this movie?
We get to rediscover it, honestly. We take place several hundred years after the end of Caesar's story. And we kind of say that those three movies were about the end of something. It was about the end of the human world. And we get to be kind of a new beginning. You know, we get to kind of see a world that is, it feels very new, especially through the eyes of Noah, who is this very young ape who sets out into this world and rediscovers it along with us and learns about the world that came before, you know, learns about Caesar himself, you know, all these things. So, you know, it's a big, grand adventure this time.
It's a grand legacy, too, right, in this franchise. It's so beloved. Obviously, with the films preceding it, what was it important for you to maintain, and what was important for you to introduce into this film?
We're giant fans of this franchise, but especially that 68 original with Charlton Heston.
I heard about your VHS story.
That's right. Including, you know, of course, Andy Serkis in the last trilogy. I mean, those movies were just some of the best, I think, ever, right? And so we didn't want to abandon all that goodwill and all that, the style of those movies, you know? So at the same time, we wanted to get some distance from it so that we could turn a page and start, have a new chapter here and do our own thing a bit, let people have something new here. But Caesar is very much carried forward into this movie. You know, even though we take place, you know, several centuries after, Caesar is an important element of the story of Noah in this movie. It shapes him, it changes him, who he was. Yeah, I think fans who love that character of Caesar will enjoy, I think, that we are not abandoning that.
Okay, winner right here with that, because I check all those boxes. I was a huge fan of the Caesar trilogy, but I love what you're talking about, right? It's the facts, right? Yeah. 300 years since Caesar's death, yet time has distanced us, but he's still so prominent. And I find it so fascinating with what you opted to do, because it's so rare you establish an iconic character like Caesar, but now we get to see how people kind of interpret his legacy. Why would you say that that was so important and how you chose to represent that?
Yeah, I think it's key because Caesar stood for sort of what we all aspire to be, you know, these great traits, even though he's an ape, you know, we see ourselves in him, our best selves in him, right? And that's very much the story of Noah, this young character who doesn't know anything. He's coming of age, you know? And so it's fun to see how time has eroded, not just the landscape itself, and the buildings around us, but to see how time has twisted it in places. It's branched out into different versions of who he was and which one is going to survive.
Oh, I can't wait for even more. You're talking about, though, like time, progression, evolution. The technology in making these films has really evolved since the last one. What was some of your favorite technology that you employed to bring this world to life?
Weta FX and everyone who was involved in those previous movies, along with Avatar, too. It's the same company. We got to stand on their shoulders, you know, and do something hopefully that feels like it's a continuation of all that incredible work in those previous movies. Water becomes a very big deal in this movie, you know. We couldn't have done that 5 years ago without all the R&D that happened on Way of Water, for instance. So CG apes and CG water, that is a visual effects artist's nightmare, you know, and we have plenty of it in this movie.
It's incredible, though, and I love that. Like, what you were talking about, there's a legacy that's preceded this, and you were really just pulling from that, and you honored kind of before.
Yeah, I try to. We have good roots, you know, and we tried not to rely on them, but use them, right, to help our story, you know.
And I do want to expand a little bit more about how you came to love this franchise, though, because I did hear about that VHS tape. But can you tell us a little bit about maybe what's been like a magical moment in this whole filmmaking process for you, knowing that it meant so much to you, and now you're here, and this is your movie about to hit theaters?
Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, I grew up watching the original 68 movie, and I was born in 1980, so you know, it's a strange idea for a little kid to watch, you know, this older movie, you know, but I think that's a testament to how good it is. And it still holds up today, you know. Those images are iconic. You know, the apes on horses and feral humans running through the grass and, you know, especially Charlton Heston on the beach. That's so etched in my brain, you know. And it is funny because we found ourselves on the beach on the day one on the beach with giant horses in the background, you know, and an ape and a human, you know, trudging along and looking through the lens. It looks like Planet of the Apes, you know, and like we suddenly kind of pinched ourselves, you know. It's like, holy crap, we are doing this, you know. It became real all of a sudden that moment. It was a great kind of, you know, I don't know, it was a great send-off into the rest of production.
I love it because it really is a multi-generational franchise. Like I talk about it with my family, right?
Sure,
and you
yeah.
can connect with, you sure. know, your family members or your friends.
And hopefully that they will particularly like this one because there's so many echoes to that 68 original, right? There's so many kind of images in there that we're steering towards, you know? So there'll be something cool for them to watch too and revisit.
It's been a thrill to watch. I absolutely love this movie and like what we're talking about, the legacy that you've carried on, what you've brought new to this. I'm so excited for more fans to see it. Thanks so much for joining us, Wes Ball.
Thanks for having me.
Lisa, that was a great interview with director Wes Ball. It's so incredible how he's been able to take this franchise into the future.
Up next, we have actors Kevin Durand, who plays Proximus Caesar, the imposing and charismatic ape leader who's determined to build an empire, and Peter Macon, who plays Rocka, an orangutan who is one of the few to truly remember Caesar's teachings of decency, morality, and strength.
Well, thank you both so much for joining us. Let's bring us together, though, with your first experience of watching a Planet of the Apes movie. Like, what was that moment for you? Talk to us about it.
I would beg my mother to put the 1968 version on the TV, and she would say, no, I'm not playing it again. I'm like, please, 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 just let me watch it. She's like, you're going to end up crying. You're going to, head behind the couch again. And I was like, I promise I won't this time. And then sure enough, I'd be behind the couch. As soon as they started speaking, I was like, what the heck? And she would explain to me that they were actors. And that's where the seed was born in me, that people actually make a living doing this. I'm so grateful that I get to take part in this lineage. I'm so honored. I called my mom. I said, Mom, I'm the King of the Apes. And she was like, you are finally perfectly cast.
I don't know if I saw it too young. It was very confusing to me. That was the first time I'd ever seen non-humans talking. On a TV, and I'm like, wait a minute. Because, you know, you watch TV and you think it's real. And you think this is what the world is. Like, I get, like, my parents watch TV and they seem to be smart and they know what's going on. They get the news and stuff like that. So when the TV and the apes movie, I'm like, what is going on? So when I go to the zoo, I'm sitting there. I know you can talk. I know you just won't talk to me. That's fine. I'll sit here and I'll wait. I'll wait because I know you can talk. And I'm going to pretend to leave. And then, like, I know they're talking and I come back. And they're just kind of looking at me like, what is wrong with this guy? So, you know, that it really twisted me up. Find
out.
Okay? I'm good now.
If your characters could be best friends with a Disney villain or a Disney sidekick, who would that be and why?
I think Proximus would love to have a LeFou in his life to just kind of go ahead and polish his narcissism and fetch him some grapes.
I look at it in terms of like my most challenging protege would be like a Shere Khan. You know what I mean? To just like, listen, he wants to fix people and take on, that would be the greatest challenge. Like, you have issues. Let's let's work. Let's talk about those issues.
Thank you both so much for the time. Big
Thank
fans
you.
Of these characters and
Thank
can't
you.
Wait to see where it goes in the
oh,
franchise.
Yeah. Yeah,
Thank you so much.
Here we are.
Bye.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Okay, wow. Kevin and Peter were such a joy. I had such a great time talking to them. Wow, what an incredible lineup of cast and filmmakers for this film. I can't wait for everyone to see it.
Same. It's incredible how these actors are able to transform into these apes. It was almost surreal seeing them in person. It's like I'm used to seeing them in ape form. And it's like, oh, here you are in human form.
Exactly. So cool.
Well, thanks again for listening to D23 Inside Disney. Don't forget to like and share this episode wherever you listen or subscribe.
If you want to chat with us, hashtag D23 Inside Disney. And for all the latest Disney info, check out D23.com.
We'll be back soon with more fantastic guests on an all-new episode of D23
Inside Disney.